You are listening to InversaTasky, the Atari 8-Bit Productivity Podcast, Season 7, Episode 6. Overview.
Welcome back, and apologies for the delay. I've been a bit busy this summer. I'm your host, Wade, and let's get started. In this episode, the software covered is Bowler's Database. This program is designed to track and print weekly bowling scores, weekly in that it is designed to follow a weekly league schedule. Here's a blurb from the overview in the manual. Bowler's Database is a friendly, easy-to-use program for keeping track of your bowling scores throughout the season. You can create as many files as you need to accommodate each bowler in your family or each member of your league. A file can hold scores for 99 weeks. In this automatically loaded program, you enter your weekly scores for your first, second, and third games. You can correct any errors later on, should you need to, and you can enter scores for more than 1 week at a time. You save your files on either cassette or diskette. To see how you're doing, you request summary and detailed reports, which automatically display on your TV screen, but which you can also print if you like. Bowler's Database gives you permanent detailed records of your bowling performance. It makes comparisons from one season to the next a simple task. A bit about the publisher. This was published by Atari Program Exchange, or APX. This has been discussed many times so far, so I won't go into details. But in short, this was Atari's app store for allowing users to publish through an official channel.
News.
I said I've been a bit busy, and that is true. From late June through mid-July, I didn't really have any time to do anything due to traveling on the holiday, and August presented its own set of homeowner challenges that just recently got resolved. Aside from those items, I spent a lot of time on my C library for the Atari 8-bit. I've been trying to get a connection to KubeSQL going for probably well over a year, and to make that happen, I needed SHA-1 and Base64 functions, and those are both a lot to ask of the meager Atari. I had been working on a program to run on my Mac or a Linux or probably even a Windows machine that could take input from the Atari via FujiNet and return data that was hashed or Base64 encoded as requested. I completed that and was about to start on the KubeSQL connection when I happened to ask in the FujiNet Discord if an SHA-1 could be implemented because the hash channel that they documented was not yet implemented. Thomas Cherry Holmes quickly added that feature and added Base64 for me as well, and Moswald built a couple of test firmwares for me in that process. We had this tested and working in just a few days' time, and I was very appreciative that they could turn that around for me that quickly. I then completed the FujiNet bindings for my C library that I had been working on and off since February, and once those were done, I added the bindings for the Base64 and SHA-1 functions. I wrote a sample program to test it all and used my library's core windowing functions as well. I then added all of it to the library's documentation, which now stands at almost 80 pages. The library is published on GitHub, and there is a link in the show notes of the InversaTasky website if you're interested. Now, I've been busy writing some player missile bindings for the library, but have been defeated as of late, so I'm switching to working on using the new FujiNet Base64 and SHA-1 hashing functions to recreate what I had done for the Mac Linux hash server program. In between this time, I opted to take a break from coding long enough to do this episode. I didn't want to do something too intense, so I chose this handy utility, which you can use to track your bowling scores. Or if you only bowl at home on the Wii or the Switch, you can track those as well and have fun doing it.
Technical data.
Bowler's Database was published in 1982. Again, the publisher was APX. This was programmed by Jerry White. You'll probably remember his name from several other APX programs and even some Atari titles. This does require BASIC. It came on disk or cassette. The disk part number was APX-20091. And in APX numbering scheme, the tape part number was APX-10091. The disk version requires 24K of memory, the tape version requires 16K. The price in 1982 fall was $15.95, and by the following fall, it had risen to $17.95. Those prices adjusted for inflation. in 1982, that would be equivalent to $50.36 today. And for that 1983 higher price of $17.95, that would be equivalent to $54.59 today. The manual is a typical APX manual, 18 pages cover to cover, staple bound on 8.5 by 11 inch paper, printed on a dot matrix printer with a heavy cardstock front and rear cover. It is well written, covers every function in detail, and also includes a tutorial along with a few helpful tips. The packaging was also typical APX packaging. The disc was included with the printed manual.
Usage notes.
Starting the program is pretty simple. For the cassette version, you boot to BASIC, then enter CLOAD. For the diskette version, you put the disc in and boot with BASIC cartridge inserted or enabled, depending upon if you have an 800 or an XLXE. When booting the disc version, a loading screen appears that is in Graphics 2 and has Loading Bowlers D in orange text, centered a few lines down from the top. The program has a neat title screen that is Graphics 0 and cycles through a rainbow of colors. At the top, it has Bowlers Database, centered with a box around it, all in inverse video. There is a copyright line, it says 1981 beneath that. And under the copyright is the author's credits listed as by Jerry White. And under that is a large bowling pin scoring box showing each pin in its place. This is surrounded by a box as well and is in all inverse video. The coolest part is while it cycles through colors, it plays a sound that somewhat makes you think of a strike. Once loaded, the program itself uses 10,186 bytes of memory. Once the variables are initialized, that consumes 1,881 bytes. And when exiting, the program is retained in memory and there are 20,207 bytes free on a 64K machine. Feature-wise, you can enter up to 99 weeks worth of 3-game scores, which is 297 games.
Aw, too bad. It should have been 100 weeks. To get that perfect 300.
You can also track multiple players, but you need to use a separate disc or cassette for each one. And you can track multiple leagues, but again, you need separate discs for each player for that league as well. So stock up on discs and labels. Usage is pretty simple. You won't need the manual. The author made great strides into sanitizing user input and preventing mistakes. If you cause the program to error or do something wrong, you're greeted with the error message and two low tones. Navigation-wise, you can press Escape to go backwards or exit any screen, even if you've started input. The menu items are invoked with numbers, and the only thing you enter are numbers in the actual program itself, and the delete key works to erase the last digit you entered on the input forms. All other keys do nothing except for yes and no when prompted. And should you happen to press the inverse key, the program will turn it back off. Anytime you are prompted for input, the program plays a small ding like this. In fact, when I was looking at the code, it actually says play ding. The main menu is in Graphics 2, as is most of the program. The title is pink and says type option number at the top. Under that, in light purple, are 6 menu options. Other screens use a similar color scheme, and those menu items are 1. Load score data. This is where you enter your scores from diskette or cassette that were previously saved. You have the option to load from cassette or diskette, as mentioned, and the diskette version has a fixed name, so there is nothing to enter here. If you have data in memory, you will be prompted to save it first. And in fact, anytime you might destroy the data that's in memory, it will ask you. The second menu item is Enter Score Data, and it's number 2. And this is where you enter a week's 3-game scores. At the top in pink, it says Enter Scores. Then every other line is light purple, and it says Game 1 equals, Game 2 equals, and Game 3 equals. Under that is the week number with the word week in green and the week number itself in orange. You do not enter the week number. It is calculated based on how many have already been entered. The cursor is orange and is positioned next to the first week, ready for entry. Once you enter all three, the week number disappears and you're asked if the scores are okay. You can keep entering weekly scores until you're done, and the week number will increment on its own. The third menu item is number 3, obviously, and it is fixed score data. This allows you to alter previously entered data. In pink letters across two lines, it reads fixed data and enter week number. Beneath that, in orange text, it shows the start and end weeks available, such as 1 to 5, in parentheses, followed by a cursor for input. Input after that works just like when entering score data. Type the digits and press return. Menu item 4 is save score data. Just like loading, you have the option to save to cassette or diskette. And when saving, it gives you a status on the screen in the form of which week number is being currently written. This is in light purple text and the week number is in orange, and it's centered across two lines in the center of the screen. After the save is complete, you're asked if you want to delete the data from memory. And again, remember, the diskette has a static file name, so there's nothing to enter there. Item number 5 is score reports. This lets you view a summary for any week that has been entered and the detailed data for all weeks. You can view this on the screen, and you have an option to print to the printer as well.
Make sure it is online first.
The summary report contains your highest, lowest, and average scores, bold, in the first, second, and third games. It also shows your highest, lowest, and average three-game series and your overall game average. The screen is very colorful with light purple text for the title, score summary, the column headers, game, high, low, and AVE, which is average, and the average game, which is the average of all 9 games, and orange text for the weekly scores and series totals, and green text for a prompt to continue, which reads press start at the bottom. The detailed report lists all your game and individual series totals by week. The program deviates from the standard Graphics 2 screen mode here and uses Graphics 0, and that's completely understandable. The colors are black background with light white text. The printouts that are available are virtually identical to what you see on the screen, and there are samples on the website. And item number 6 is end program. This simply drops out of the program to the basic ready prompt. And if you're curious, the code is still intact and you can list it out to the printer if you want to further dissect it. A bit about the files on the disk. This comes on a 90K single-sided Atari DOS 2.0S disk. There are 5 files on it. There's DOS Sys, which is 39 sectors, and that's your Atari DOS 2.0S. There's Dupe Sys, which is 42 sectors, and that's your Atari DOS user interface. There's an auto run .sys file, which is 2 sectors. This is the autoloader for the basic program. There is Bowler's D, which is 82 sectors. This is the program itself. And there is diskname.dat, which is 1 sector, and this is the APX disk identifier. The contents of diskname.dat are APX-20091, which is the part number. There's Bowler's database, DATEBASE 2.0. Yes, there's a typo there. It's spelled date base. Then it has Jerry White, which is the author. And then it has 31082, which I presume is the initial publishing or submission date. And then the number 85, which I do not know what that is for. Once you save your scores to the diskette, there will be a file called score.dat. The score file starts with a single byte, which indicates the number of weeks that have been entered. And the next 2 bytes are 0, and I'm unsure what they're used for. And starting at the 4th byte are the scores in plain ASCII, and each separated by a return, or character 155. It's kind of too bad there's no way to use a file name. A fully populated score file with 99 weeks will be about 20 sectors long, which will leave about 520 sectors free on the program disk, should you save it there. And for multiple players, using an empty disk for each is wasting a lot of disk space.
Fun factoids.
This program is classified as home management by APX, although I'm not really sure it's home management. Under the description on the cover page, it says in parentheses, for bowlers. I'm not sure who else would this apply to, but I'm glad they pointed it out. This is version 2, and it allows you to store scores that are greater than 255. If that was a restriction for version 1, I think version 1 was pretty much useless for bowlers. And in the mid-90s, I was on a bowling league with my average game score being around 195, if I remember correctly. A score higher than 220 was my enemy.
Summary.
First off, this program is extremely easy to use, so much so you won't need the manual. There is no fluff to get in your way of just recording your scores. The program is colorful and has nice audible additions. Combining the audio-visual aspect with the simplicity of use makes for an inviting experience. Anyone can use Bowler's experience with ease, and I mean anyone. Speaking of audio, I find that I enjoy simple additions employed in these old programs, even if they are small sounds. Without a lot of other visual fluff outside of the program, like other windows with different apps, system menu bars, etc., it provides an interest point. Contrast that with modern programs, or even operating systems in general, and on a new install, audio is the first place I head and turn it all off. But on these old programs, I like it. I mentioned this early on. The author, Jerry White, created several APX titles, and some were picked up by Atari. His titles are typically well-orchestrated in the user experience arena, and so Bowler's Database was no surprise. The only thing that really raised an issue with usage was the lack of being able to give a diskette save a file name. This would allow storing at least 25 players or a single player 25 seasons all on the original disk, which I don't recommend you do, always use a blank. I was just using that as an example to drive home the point. On a blank disk, that number would jump up to 45 players or 45 seasons for a single player. Copy this over to a double density disk and at least double those numbers further. The way Bowler's Database is set up, with a statically named file on the diskette that only consumes 20 sectors, it wastes a tremendous amount of disk space, or rather disks in general. If you're managing multiple players, multiple leagues, or multiple seasons, you're going to need a lot of disks. Let's look at a simple example. Say you have 4 players on your team in a league. Right off the bat, you need 4 disks. If your team plays a second season, you need 8 disks. We all know you should back up your data, so being a good custodian, you're up to 16 disks. You can see how quickly the need for additional disks increases. If you're going to use this for more than yourself, maybe you should just buy disks in bulk and a disk multi-file box as well. You're going to need it. The reporting in Bowler's Database was efficient, simple, and easy to use as well. The summary report gives you a week score summary and game average along with the series totals. The detailed report gives you the raw data with each week's series total for all the weeks entered. Overall, I enjoyed using the Bowler's Database, even if it was just for some impromptu data. What did I like about it? When entering data, if the score is 3 digits, there is no need to press return. This speeds up data entry ever so slightly. That's a good time to put that CX85 keypad to work, isn't it? What did I not like about it? There's not really anything to dislike other than the lack of file names for the saved diskette data. From a 1982 perspective, would I use it? Sure, it's a dead simple program and it does what it says. From a retro perspective, would I use it? Maybe. It's simple enough, but tracking 20 sector files across multiple disks per player, per league, per year is going to be a exercise in disk management, or a headache to say the least. A spreadsheet could work better for this, or better yet, an actual database. You'd have to replicate the reporting though. In fact, remember I said I was in a league? That league kept track of all of our scores, of course, and in addition to what they did, I tracked mine and my friend's scores separately in Quattro Pro. Yes, the Lotus 123 work-alike from Borland, for DOS. With it, I had computed fields for the game average and series total, and I think that was about it. Had I known about Bowler's database then, I might have used this instead. For a bit rating, a 7 feels about right. The software is polished, it's colorful, it's audible, it's simple, and does what it says it will. I'd give it an 8 if you didn't need so many diskettes, even for one player.
Special thanks.
First of all, I'd like to thank Jerry White for his contributions to the Atari program community. I'd also like to thank the letter B for bowling, a fun indoor activity for everyone. And thank you for listening and your ongoing support. As always, you can find me on Mastodon, and all my contact information is on the Inverse Itasky website. And by fall of 1983, just a year later, that price had risen to say if...
Goodbye.